You don't realize how special you are. You know, we are taught from a young age that every child is born on its own natural disposition. Now, what this means is when we are born, we are like a blank slate. We have certain things about us that are pre-programmed. And out of those things, some of them are common to other human beings, like the general goodness of being a human being, the love that we feel for each other, the willingness to help each other. These are common to all human beings. But there are things about you, just like your DNA is unique, there are things about you that are unique to you that will never ever be repeated in another person. And those are the things that make you that beautiful, unique person that you are. And that's why we are taught from a young age. And this has been the tradition that we've been taught from for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that every child is born on its own unique disposition. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because we are living in a time when there's never been so many choices in terms of what we can do as a career, as a calling in life. I mean, 200 years ago, if you were born in the home of a carpenter, that's it. You would become a carpenter. If you were born in the home of a metal worker, blacksmith, that's it. That would be your trade. You would take up after your father and you would just continue the family business. So it was carpentry, weaving, farming. There were just a very small number of things you could do. But today we are living in exciting times where literally the world is open to you. And especially if you get into business. Now, when you get into business, you are literally opening up a world to yourself, a world of opportunities. But it can also be daunting because of the number of choices. Sometimes they say, you know, no choice is better than too many choices because then you suffer from decision fatigue. But it shouldn't be like that. You see, when I started off in business, I was quite lost. I didn't really know what to do and which direction to go. I didn't have all the skills. Even though I was brought up in a family of business people, I was more academically inclined as a person. And business was particularly tough for me because as much as I was good at coding and I was good at teaching code, the business of running a school that teaches code is something completely different than teaching code. And I realized that very quickly. But I learned a set of skills over the past 15 years in business, almost 15 years. I learned a set of skills that proved invaluable to me in my journey as a business person, as an entrepreneur. And I want to share that with you because that will be your stepping stone to success in business as well as in your career. So here goes, four essential skills for success in business, things that worked for me. Now, I just want to tell you something. These worked for me. This is not something I read in a book. This is not something I researched on ChatGPT. This worked for me. And the order in which I'm going to tell you is the order in which I hold them in importance. Let's go. So the first thing is self-knowledge, right? Self-awareness. Now, this is something I say over and over and over again. Develop self-awareness because it's that self-awareness which more than anything else in the world is going to tell you what you are meant to do. What is your life's calling? What is your passion? If you don't have self-awareness, in other words, you don't know who you are as a person, you don't know what you love and what you hate, you're going to be stuck. And you're probably going to make the wrong decisions in life. And the trouble is, this is what psychologists are telling us today, but like I said, this is something we knew from generations upon generations, is this. When you are a child and you're born with that disposition of yours, you're born with your specific likes and dislikes, that is the time when you are most, ironically, the time when you are most aware of who you are as a human being. You know, the time when you turn 2 years old, between 2 and 5 years old, that's the time when you see the child expressing his or her own opinions. You see the child asserting his or her own personality. And they'll say things like, "Mommy, I like this," or "Mommy, I hate this. I don't want to eat this. I want to eat that. I don't want to go here. I don't like this person. I like that person. Why can't we go and spend time with this person?" So that is what that is coming actually from deep down inside that disposition of yours, deep down inside that, what I like to call an unaware self-awareness. You have self-awareness, but at that age, you are too young to understand that all of these things are coming from your own self-awareness, from your deep psyche, from your own personal preferences. And unfortunately, most parents don't even realize that when my child is throwing a tantrum and saying, "I want this," or "I don't want that," that this is coming from a very important place. It's coming from the child's own disposition. And rather than encouraging it, what we do as parents, and I'm guilty of it also, we discourage it. And we try to fit the child into a box of conformity. So come 5 years old, 6 years old, then we start instructing the child, "Do this and do that," or "Don't do this," or "Don't do that." And we start slowly slicing away that natural disposition of the child, that self-awareness of the child. So the child now is turning his self-awareness away from, or his attention away from his own self-awareness to what his parents require him to do. And then when he goes to school, it gets worse, because there he is required to do certain things, to sit and do what Ken Robinson says, clerical work. He's required to do literacy, mathematics, numeracy, which he may or may not like. He might even hate it, but he has to do it, otherwise he's going to fail. He's not going to succeed in school. Never mind that his natural disposition is towards creativity, towards art, towards maybe music, towards sports. Never mind that. You just have to fit into that box and comply. And that is sad, but it gets worse. Because as you get older, with each year that passes, you are getting further and further away from the original you. That's what I like to call it, the original you, the you of 2 to 5 years old. And when you come to your teenagers, then you know what happens. Then you want to comply with your peers and you are terrified of being an outcast. Never mind, you prefer to just sit at home and read a book or code or do something that you like to do. But it doesn't matter. You just have to comply with what everybody else is doing. And it reminds me of one story when I was growing up. I was around 16 years old, and a family friend was going overseas. So he came to meet the family to say his goodbyes. And he saw me sitting at my computer, and it was a Saturday night. So he got a shock. He said, "Bilal, what are you doing here on a Saturday night in front of this computer? Why aren't you out there with your friends, hanging out, going to the movies, clubs, this, that?" And my answer to that was, "What friends?" My friend was my computer. I would sit the whole weekend and just code. I know it was a bit unhealthy. I wouldn't recommend anyone do that. But I used to do that. I loved doing that. That was me as a person. And that was my disposition. I was fortunate enough that from a young age, my dad bought me this computer, this Commodore computer. And I took to it like a little duck to water. And I've never looked back since. And so, you know, I was one of the lucky few. But there are so many kids that now when they come to the teenagers, it's now they've gone even further. And then when they go to university, they go even further. Why? Because at university, you are not asked to choose what you love to do. You are asked to choose what will bring you the most money. Now, it's important to earn an honest living, no doubt. But the thing is, don't do it at the sacrifice of your personality, your likes. Do something that is at the intersection of what you love to do, what you are passionate about, and what can earn you some money. But I digress. So come university, most people follow the money. And then you go into a job, a thankless job that you don't really like, and you go through the motions and you live out your life. And with each year that passes, You're getting further and further and further away from original you, that pure, quintessential you, that beautiful, unique you. Now what we need to do is to come back, to reflect. Go back to your childhood. What were the things you loved doing? What were the things that you enjoyed? What were the things that nobody needed to prompt you, that you just took to it like a little duck to water? When you go to a preschool class, you can see some of that. You can still see those unspoiled human beings. You'll see one kid is just jumping somewhere, kicking a ball. You see one child is sitting there with her crayons. You see another child who is just comfortable with a book. You see another child who is clicking up and talking to her friends and talking one way. Now that's the beauty of human beings. We are all so different. So as a crucial business skill, you need self-awareness, not just business, but a professional skill also. The second skill is to embrace a growth mindset. And now that's something that worked for me, because like I said, I was very challenged in business. Really, I found myself hitting brick walls in every direction I possibly could, because like I said, I wasn't particularly inclined to business. And not just that, but the type of business that I started was not something that anyone in my family or anyone that I know, even up till today, is running. An online coding academy. I mean, my dad was a retailer. He sold cell phones and electronics in his stores. That's it. I could perhaps start one of those stores because I've got some background knowledge in that. But I don't have any background knowledge in training, in running an online institute. So I had to figure things out. And it was a journey for me. It was a journey for me to figure all of these things out with every step of the way, the technology, the cybersecurity, the marketing, the sales, the customer service. It was daunting at each step. But you know what? I took pleasure in it. I took joy in it, because another part of my natural disposition is that I like figuring things out. I like a challenge in front of me, like these mountains. By the way, I'm in the northern Drakensberg mountain in an area called the Golden Gate Nature Reserve. And I'll tell you in a while why I'm here. And I'm sitting on the top of the mountain talking to you. So when I see a mountain, I like to climb it. Ever since I was a child, God knows how many toys, my own toys and my siblings, my brother's toys, I broke just because I wanted to open it and have a look inside and take it apart and try and figure out how this thing works. That was who I was as a child. I would, you know, radios and phones and toys and you name it, I would take them apart. And I suspect that part of why I took to coding is because I wanted to figure out what happens inside video games, because I loved video games at that stage. So I started coding to figure out what exactly goes on, and it was a beautiful journey. So that part of my nature I carried forward into business. And with every challenge that came, I took pleasure, and I taught my sons to take pleasure in figuring things out, in trying to overcome each hill and each obstacle. And we are still there. We are still figuring things out, and we are getting better and better at it all the time. So the growth mindset really helped me to grow in business and to grow as an entrepreneur. So that's the second most important thing that I learned. The third thing is this. Now, before I tell you what's the third thing, I want to tell you another part of my personality. My personality is that I am naturally a very strong introvert. Like that story I told you about me sitting at home with my computer, that's a good indication of who I am. See this, where I'm sitting? This is a good indication of who I am. On the top of a mountain, just took a trail up here, iPad in my hand, I've got my books here, sitting, reading a book. Okay, I'm taking some time to talk to you, but I'm reading also. I love sitting alone and just reading, meditating, pondering, thinking, coming up with ideas, writing notes. I've got my Apple Pencil here. I write my notes. I love this. This is me. But I quickly learned in business My business taught me this. My business taught me that you cannot be a business person and an introvert. It just doesn't work. Because in business, your staff, your team are what? Human beings. Your customers are what? Human beings. And you have to learn to work with human beings. Your networks, human beings. So I had to learn this. And I you know, it reminded me of a story that of my dad. When I was growing up, you know, there were a lot of occasions when I filled in for my dad in the business when he had to go out and do some work in the morning. So I would open the shop and I would wait there. And there was this one occasion when I was filling in for my father in the store, when an old lady came in with a cell phone that she had bought from us. And she said she wants to speak to my dad. She called him Mkulu, because in Zulu, the word Mkulu means senior one. So she used to call my dad that, Mkulu. So she wanted to speak to my dad. So I asked her, what do you want to speak to Mkulu for? She said, there's something wrong with my cell phone. So I said, yes, I can help you. No, I don't want you to help me. I want Mkulu to help me. So I said, look, I don't know what time he's going to come, but if you want, I can help you. Otherwise, you'll just have to wait. She said, I'll wait. So we got her a chair. She sat down. She waited. I think it was almost 2 hours that she waited. And when my dad finally pitched up, she beamed. She was really happy to see him. She went straight up to him, said, Mkulu, this is my problem with the phone. It was a battery issue, if I recall correctly. And all my dad did was pull out a new battery, replace it, and she was gone. It was a 5-minute job, but she waited 2 hours for her hero to pitch up. So I asked my dad, what gives here? What happened here? I offered to help her, but she opted to wait for such a long time. So my dad told me something very interesting, and I'm telling you this. He said, you see, you treated her like a customer. I treated her like a friend. She knows me. This is not my first encounter with me. She bought this phone from me and she's a repeat customer. And over time, because of the friendliness with which I interact with my customers, and my dad is telling me all this, because of the respect that I show them, I've built up a friendship and I've built up trust with them. And so when they come to the store, more often than not, they don't want to talk to the staff or to you. They want to talk to me because they feel a level of comfort. And that level of comfort is what made them into repeat business people. They won't go for cheaper prices anywhere else. They'll come to me because they trust me. And just like this woman came and she had this problem with her cell phone, I sorted it out without even a question. You see, that's the kind of trust that I've built up. So now, my advice to you is this. If you want to be successful in business, build what we call social intelligence, meaning learn to be sociable with people. Learn to deal with human beings. Learn conflict resolution. Learn how to motivate people. Learn how to influence people. Learn how to be kind to people. Learn how to build trust with your staff, with your customers, with your networks, because that is what is going to make you into a success in business. Now, in a previous episode, I spoke about a relationship that I built up with somebody over LinkedIn, and that relationship led to millions of rands worth of business for my company. And that was just one of many examples. The kind of relationships you build is what is going to ultimately determine your success or lack thereof in business. So remember, cultivate or build social intelligence. Don't try to be a business person and an introvert at the same time. It just doesn't work. Learn customer service. Learn to be a hero and a champion to your customers. And I promise you, they will look after you. My dad's advice to me and my advice to you aspiring entrepreneurs. And the fourth thing, very, very important, is to cultivate a network of support for yourself. Now, what is a network of support? A network of support is a network of people who will play the role of your support in business. Now, why do you need this? Simple. Business is hard. Business is tough. Business drains you emotionally, psychologically, mentally, physically, in every possible way. Business drains you, and you need people around you who will support you when you are drained. It happens to everyone. It happens to every entrepreneur. We are not superhumans. We burn out. We work hard. We burn out. We get stressed. We get anxiety. That's just the nature of business. So you need people around you to support you. And that is why I'm here in the Drakensberg. I'm here because of my boys. You see, my boys, for the past few months, we've had a bumper enrollment period at the business, at IT Varsity. Best enrollment, like, in the history of the business. And they've been working really hard. And it's been stressful. And I started to notice, and especially now that, you know, the month of Ramadan came and went, I noticed that they are starting to look a bit worn out. And I started to notice early signs of potential burnout in these youngsters. I mean, they are young, they are in the 20s, but even young people like that, with all their strength and energy, can burn out. I saw this trend, and my youngest even got a bit sick. For a couple of weeks he was sick, and I suspected it was more due to stress than due to any physical ailment. So I decided, let's book a midweek, Monday to Friday, in the mountains, and we'll go as a family. We booked a lovely unit in this beautiful area, and here we are. But I told them, we're going to come on one condition only, and that is that you do absolutely no work. You delegate everything to your team, you trust them, and you tell them that if the office is on fire or if our learning management system is down, then call you, otherwise don't call you. Take charge of things. And so far, so good. They are so chill, so relaxed. You can see that the light has returned, that vibrance and that glow has come back to them, and they are enjoying themselves here. And I know when we go back to work next week, Monday, they're going to go full swing, and they're going to attack. They're going to be refreshed, and they are going to come up with better ideas, better, more creativity, and they're going to be chugging along in a healthy way. So I played the role of their network of support as their father. But they also play the same role for me. And their mother plays the same role for me. So we have this network of support internal to the family. But I also have an external network of support in my mentors. When things get tough in the business, I speak to my mentors. I go up to them, say to them, I'm having this challenge or that challenge. What do you suggest? And so that helped me to come out of all, from a lot of anxiety issues, a lot of stress, and a lot of potential burn, because I have experienced burnout in the past. And it's a horrible thing, because you just can't pick yourself up and go to your own business. You're just like a stranger in your own business. So we all need that network of support. So let's go through them very quickly. Look, I had lots of other skills that I had written. Yeah, I made some notes, but I'm out of time. And so I stuck to these four, which are for me the most important. And just to go over them once again. Number one, develop self-awareness. Number two, embrace a growth mindset. Grow, keep learning, keep growing. Number three, build social intelligence. Become a people person. Understand people, because business is all about people. Start and end, nothing else. Your business is not about your products. It's not about your software you wrote. It's about people. And the fourth one is cultivate a network of support, because you need it. And in the times when you are down, that's when you need that network of support. And with these skills, by learning these skills and sharpening them, you will become a better human being. I mean, look at me. Introvert, that's the word, intense introvert, but now I've become a people person, and now I'm at the point where people fascinate me. I love meeting people, I love expanding my networks. I've changed something I hate into something that I love and I enjoy doing, and I think I'm doing a bit okay now. So just keep these things in mind, and thank you for listening.